topic, love, which is really what it all boils down to anyway. And he's, I mean, he said it, you know, like, he meant it when he said God is love. And that's right, John. All the fullness of the Godhead lives in you in bodily form. Isn't that amazing? That means Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We were getting that earlier this week, weren't we, Lizzie? That was incredible. Yeah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because he's omniscient who lives in us. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. That is Holy Spirit. He's not, I really think we need to learn, he's not junior God. You know, incredible. He is fully God.
The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
Exactly. He's the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Yeah, fully God. Not junior. So, that's something I think the church really needs to learn, because he gets discounted. Exactly. I'm just hang on a second.
You know, went up, did my thing for a minute, and I was going to come out, and I was wondering, like, what could I possibly share tonight? And you know, I hadn't opened up this John G. Lake book in ages to tell the truth. But this is stuff that I was, you know, that came out at me was, you know, it's called the human clutch, you know?
Mm.
And how sometimes, you know, people will hold on to things and not surrender, and all their effort goes into them trying to make things work, make things happen. And one of the things that I shared on, I guess on Facebook not too long ago, is how the Lord was showing me that I was saying the scriptures, I was, you know, doing that kind of stuff and for healing, but in my heart, I felt like I was in a bad position, like I was agreeing with the sickness of my circumstance, and I really wanted and hoped, hope for healing, and the Lord showed me that this is what I was doing. I was really actually agreeing with the devil and the sickness in my life, although I was saying scriptures and, you know, and that kind of stuff, and it's like, Jesus is saying, like, choose, you know, this hand or that hand, you know, what do you want? Do you want what I got? Do you want to receive what I got? Or are you receiving this, you know? And it's not condemnation.
No.
It's just, Lord, show me that, you know, who are you looking at, you know?
It's a choice. It's a choice. Absolutely. That's absolutely right. But that, I think that that issue of trying rather than trusting, what you wrote, Aldi, I think it's excellent, because that's where all of this difficulty comes in. And then the striving, and then the arguing, and then the self-righteousness, it all comes from that trying, because it's self-initiated. It's not trusting God at all. And if we're going to trust him in whatever it is that we do, how are we going to trust him? Who's the one who's going to give us that? Holy Spirit. He's the one. And he lives inside us. So ultimately, it's what's not to trust. But because we don't know him, often we don't spend time with him. We don't even talk to him. Most Christians wouldn't even talk to him. In fact, many have been told not to talk to him because you might hear the wrong voice. You know, so they've been warned to stay away from Holy Spirit because, well, we don't really know who he is anyway. And maybe it's not a spirit, maybe it's a force. And, oh, you could hear the wrong voice. So, you know, just to be on the safe side, don't get to know him. That's lunacy. He came in Jesus' stead. We're in big trouble if we're not going to listen to Jesus. And so people just quote the word, or they talk about what he did when he was here, and they stay in that place. He's living in us. He's not just living back 2,000 years ago. He's living in me and in you right now. Holy Spirit. Like, oh, wow. When we get a handle on that, or even a glimpse of it, and then hopefully a grasp on it, we'll live in that reality of being one.
We have rivers of living water flowing.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Lizzie, that's a good comment. Yeah, he'll even lead you he'll even talk to you about things that don't seem, quote-unquote, super spiritual, and that leads us into all truth. Absolutely. Absolutely. The other day, okay, for instance, and we all know our mundane thing. We all know with the twins, I love it because the thermos is my little symbol of, you know, how much the Holy Spirit cares about our smallest of things that matter to us. The other day I was out, you know, it's so hot here because we're in the middle of summer and it is absolutely blazing. I mean, like 100 to 110, you know, and the pool, we have one of those inflatable pools that's been this fiasco, but we finally got it working to a good degree. And anyway, and it was late and there was a storm out in the distance. You could see forked lightning and these big puffy clouds. And I got in the pool just on my own because normally I'm in with my son or my husband or all of us or whatever. And it was just brilliant. And the water was so soft because we'd done the chlorine. And it was just this perfect setting. And there right before me developed in front of my eyes a rainbow. Yeah, I know. That's and I beautiful. Just went, wow. I took it personal. You know, people go, oh, well, that's just because the sun, you know, the light is going through the water droplets or whatever. I took it totally personal from God. I was in heaven just laying in that pool. And I had the little float, you know, those little noodles that you float on so you're not even stressing your own body. And I'm just floating along, looking at the forked lightning, looking at this rainbow he just put in front of my eyes. It just came, you know, almost like instantly. It was amazing. And it kept developing bigger and bigger, and then went end to end like a full arc. And I just thought, wow. And I talked to him about it. You know, the thing that didn't seem super spiritual. I talked about this rainbow and how I appreciated it. And, oh, I think that you're saying something to me, Lord. And he ended up talking to me about the deepest things. But it started with some forked lightning in a pool and rainbow. You know? It's amazing. It is so, and he's that personal with all of us. It's not just, you know, it's not just that he does it to a particular person. You know, this one, oh, this one's more in tune with Holy Spirit. We're going to notice if we're more in tune, but he's doing it all the time. I just want you guys to know that he's telling me to tell you right now, really stress it right now. He is doing that kind of thing in front of you all the time. And me. Only have to tune in. That's it. Okay, it's not that you have to be a better Christian or stronger in the spirit or know him better or commune more. No. He's doing it all the time. You just have to open it. We just have to say, Holy Spirit, show me. Don't let me miss it. Don't let me miss a moment of you. And he will. Your eyes will just be open. Because when I went into the pool, it was a relaxing time. I'd been on all day, online, praying, healing, teaching, whatever it was, writing. And I went outside, and he even said to me, he said, why have you taken so long? That's what he said to me. You know, like I'm out here, I'm waiting. You know, what is this? And I had to admit it. You know, oh, I've been kind of hiding from you because I don't know where you're going to take me next. And he said, I want to show you things you've never known. And I went, okay, all right, I'm going, you know. And of course, it's always good. You know, we just get chicken because we think it's going to be a bad thing. He'll never teach us bad things. Because we've gotten so much of that teaching from, you know, from the church. And this is not to beg the church. Look, the church has just been lost and the devil has had a field day with her. You know, the body of Christ, like he told me the other day, is sleeping beauty. Holy Spirit says, I'm the kiss. That's all he wants. He just wants to wake her up. Not by beating her over the head and telling her how stupid she is. Or how ineffectual, or how she doesn't do enough, or how she's not healing somebody, you know. That's not what he wants to do. If he awakens us from our innermost being through himself, the Holy Spirit kiss, wow. No, nothing will hold us back. But if we're doing it from duty, everything will hold us back. We'll stop. Because
it's not like a merit.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't.
When you're married to someone, you know them so intimately and you spend so much time together privately that when you're in public, you don't hold back your affection. You just have effortless conversation. It's not like ritualistic or rigorous.
That's how it's meant to be, Lizzie. Doesn't always turn out like that.
It's like a husband and wife and they're like striving to like set up their time together. It would be odd.
Oh, well, no, it's not really, unfortunately. Things are so busy, that's what we do. We actually, husbands and wives do that. That's not how it's meant to be, but that's how we do it. Yeah, that's how,
Okay.
that's the, That's the world. I would say other people that are married have that experience too. And that's why Holy Spirit, you know, when we don't set aside time, it's not about a duty. It's not about, oh, I won't be close enough to him. He wants to show you every minute of every day what he's doing. Yeah, that it isn't the issue that we've got to earn his presence. We don't earn his presence. He's in us. We just have to feel it, experience it, know it, be with him so that we are aware. That's all. So that taking that quiet time away really isn't because, oh, otherwise Holy Spirit or God or Father or Jesus or somebody's going to be mad at me. It's not from there at all. It's we won't experience it because we're so busy with everything else and you're distracted. That's really all it is. It's just simple distraction. And when I got into that pool, it was like all the distraction was gone. There wasn't anything online. No one could call me. No one could ask for help. I couldn't be writing an article. My son couldn't be asking me to make him something to eat. You know, nothing. And my husband wasn't home yet from work. It was late. And I was just there. It was incredible. And he wants to do that, you know, all the time. And like I said before, he really wants to emphasize it. He's doing it already. So all we have to say is, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to what you are really doing in our lives and to not be afraid. I really get the sense that a lot of the body is afraid of being close with Holy Spirit because they've been trained that he's not to be trusted. I'm pretty sure that's for somebody here in this group. I could sense it really strongly. I don't know if that's something that they're aware of or what, but I know I was taught not to trust Holy Spirit. And certainly not to address him, and certainly don't pray to him. Oh my goodness. You know, heavens to Murgatroyd. You don't do that. As if that was blaspheming. Yeah, he was Pentecost. That's right. Yeah, that's right too. That's right, Lizzie. And that's what stops us. We think, oh, well, it might just be my own thinking, so I won't trust. But we're never going to know the difference. And after a while, your thinking and his thinking are the same. How cool is that? So you're in the middle of making something, you know, dinner for me. I love it. He does all the, you know, he always comes in mundane land because he doesn't stop being with us. It's not like, oh, now that you're sitting with me, I can be with you. He's always with us. It doesn't matter. He's always with us. So I can be making a sandwich or I can be in the pool or I can be writing an article or I can be ministering. He hasn't gone anywhere. And so when we're doing whatever it is we're doing, he starts to being infused in your thoughts. That's what I'm finding. And it's amazing. You'll be talking with someone and suddenly he's giving them prophecy. It's coming out of your head and you're like, wow, I didn't know they were going to plant a lot of churches. You know, and you give it to them and they go, oh yeah, yeah, that's been on my heart. You know, it's amazing. And you're not thinking it or striving. There's no striving. It really is, with Holy Spirit, it really is entering the rest of God, because he's already in us. We don't have to gain him. I think the church needs to learn that. We don't have to gain Holy Spirit. We don't have to gain his approval. We don't have to do certain things to have him with us, to have his presence. His presence is always abiding. We need only awaken to it. That's the kiss. That's what he wants to do. A good point, John. The controlling is what stops us from just yielding more, pouring, you know, going deeper into him, allowing him to take us to places we haven't seen before, spiritually, let alone perhaps physically too. You're right. The control is what stops it. And if the joke about it is we have no control over it. I don't have control over Christ. I can, though, resist the Holy Spirit. I was reading a scripture about that. We can resist him. But that doesn't stop who he is and what's been done and who lives in me. That just means I don't benefit, which is a tragedy. So all we need to do is say, yes, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, do it. Have free reign. And then he takes over. And we don't have to worry anymore. You were going to say something, Lizzie.
I have a couple things.
Okay.
That I thought about. Basically, I was talking to someone earlier about how we watched a Buddhist film in my religion class around
About chastising.
But the way that we preach it.
Yeah, and about chastising and that correction that Holy Spirit will lead us to through scripture or thoughts or whatever it is, or even our own feelings, that we don't want to resist Him. I don't want to resist His correction. So when He gave me a scripture this morning, I am a voice calling in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. Then He was telling me, don't get on your high horse. This is your job to do it. Not, this is your job and you're nothing else. Nothing like that. No, I gave you all of myself. I love you beyond your understanding, or I certainly wouldn't have sent Jesus. And your job is not make you better than anyone else in the body. So just take it with a little, a little bit of dilute that there, because it's very easy to fall into the self-aggrandizing and self-righteousness. It's a real ploy of the enemy, and he wants us to fall into it every day. So when when I find Holy Spirit chastising me, I know it says the Father does, but Holy Spirit's the one who lives in me, and He's my communication. You know, that's how I'm going to communicate with Daddy and Jesus. And He tells me, He puts a scripture in my heart, or He puts one in front of my eyes, and He tells me, and I can tell the sting in it. I'll read it, and I feel a sting. I'll feel a sting. And at first, I don't like it. First, I want to get away. You know, the first reaction is, let me get out of here. This is uncomfortable. I got to go now. But that's not, once I go and read the scripture or whatever whether it's a thought or a scripture or a vision that He gives me, once I go through with it and keep stepping through, then that correction becomes a treasure and becomes I'm seeing a picture, but I can't say it. It like enhances me. It grows me and I become more of what I'm meant to be. And so at first it's uncomfortable, but Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. And when He wants us to be in that, it's almost like a razor's edge, humility, knowing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, knowing we are so loved, knowing we are one with the Father. What could get better than that? We have the Spirit of adoption. We can cry out, Father, Abba. And yet, don't think that just because I've given you a particular gifts, particular direction, particular work in the body, that you are better than anybody else. It's like reality check. I gave that all to you. And if we'd look at ourselves in the wrong perspective, that, oh, look at what I can do, then we're going to actually not lose it in the sense that, He's going to take it away, but we won't be flowing the way we're meant to flow. So you lose it in that sense. Because you're doing, I felt it this week. It was happening this week. And I thought, oh, okay, something's wrong. Holy Spirit, you're just not in all my words. What's wrong? Why aren't you there? And one of the things is I wasn't taking time with Him to get renewed and refreshed. And that, that was my little pool incident. It was like, so what took you so long? I've been waiting. And then once I'm replenished, I have something to give. Otherwise, it becomes my own thinking, and I'm just going to repeat what I used to say. Now, I'm just looking at what some people are saying. Yeah, give credit where credit is due. Yes.
And the Lord felt more impressed asking her, are these trees dead? And she said, no. And a few days later, she came back to the same spot. And this time, she saw that the trees looked like they were dying. And she responded and said, yes. And what the Lord pointed out to her was that the life source, whatever is growing, He's a life source. Remind ourselves, and actually, whether it's visualizing or whatever, just knowing that if the life source is cut off, then it is cut off, it's going to die. Just like, Jesus cursed the fig tree.
Right. And that other one about that other woman, too, of
Well, the cancer did go, by the way, for the last woman, too.
Okay. Yeah.
She used to look in the mirror. And go ahead, Jesse.
No, I was just going to say, that first one that you mentioned, because I hadn't recorded it, so I just wanted to go over it. So she was having criticism from the church saying, you can't believe this, that you're being healed. And when she declared, well, they don't believe it, but I do. She was immediately healed. You know, and it is like that. That's why I wanted to say this too. When, you know, when we're praying for people, because the unction is, let's just pray for anybody. And I'm not saying, I'll just qualify this. Jesus healed them all. Yes. Everyone who came to him got healed, but they came. They wanted that. We sometimes, when we're praying for people, we really have to be aware. And this again goes Holy Spirit. This is through Holy Spirit. We have to be aware that sometimes they have things within them that won't let them receive. Sometimes they have belief systems even. And you can pray till the cows come home. Where have the cows been is the answer. But anyway, no, you can pray till the cows come home and they don't receive it. And then we tend to beat ourselves up. And that's really important that we actually get. It's not about, oh, should I pray for you or not you? It's not from this pick and choose, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It's just be aware through Holy Spirit what is going on with that person besides the fact that they may have cancer. Like when Eldie and I prayed for her mom before, he revealed so many things about her mother that I would have no privy to. I couldn't know this. So he was telling us for a reason, because he wanted those things prayed about. Because they were, might have been interfering with her receiving what's already been paid for. So do you know what I'm saying? So healing, and this is what he's teaching me while I'm writing this book, he's writing, inspiring me to write, is not just, it's not just body parts, but it's also, it's all inclusive. It can be prophecy. Prophecy can heal people. It can be a word of knowledge. It can be understanding something or something be revealed about them that they themselves don't even know yet in terms of a blockage. They may know about it, but they don't know that it's blocking them. All of this is healing. So it's not just lay your hands on them and get some heat and away we go. So, you know, that's something important for us to address. Even though I didn't record that prayer, I think it's really important to address the fact that if we're feeling something, like you said, Lizzie, you felt certain emotions, certain sensations, certain, you know, impressions while you were praying for that person, that's the Holy Spirit talking to us. So if you're feeling fear or sorrow, or you said the heart shivering, that's about that person you're praying for. And we need to actually pray about that. That's his speaking to you. That's his voice. And that's why healing is, spirit-led healing is not a formula or even a doctrine. Never a doctrine, please, Lord. But it is not our method. It is actually a living experience with the living God. While you're ministering, he's giving you information. He's giving you messages. He's giving you impressions. He's telling you visions, prophecy, words, and knowledge, whatever it is that he gives. It's an alive process, not something that we just, you know, go, okay, well, I did the commanding, I did the casting, I did the binding, I did the loosing, I crushed that spirit, da da da. Okay, we should be good now. That's not going to work for everybody. And we see that. We see there's a lot of failures in just using a method. Yeah, there's a lot of success. I'm not saying it isn't work, but I would imagine all believers would want to be operating, I hate that because that sounds like a machine, would we want to be flowing in the fullness of God in whatever we do, whether it's for healing or any kind of ministry, or whether it's being with our spouses, or whether it's making dinner. You don't want to be, you know, half-heartedly doing anything. And, I'm just reading what you're saying, Ron. People often think when one talks of something other than healing about the whole, then they use it as an excuse giving up when praying for a sick person. Can you explain that? I don't know what that means. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a little mumble jumble. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just find that, you know, a lot of times when praying for somebody, sometimes when, like what we just did or whatever, talking about different things and that kind of stuff, some people look at it and say, well, you know, you're just, you know, using that as an excuse of why so-and-so is not getting healed and that kind of stuff. But I believe that we do work in he's concerned with the whole thing, and it's not, we do believe in the healing part of it, you know? But do you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times people think, okay, well, you're...
When they go beyond the physical body, yes.
Say that again?
Well, when we speak about praying for healing beyond specific body parts, sometimes people think, oh, you're just making excuses for why the healing hasn't manifested yet.
Or what they don't see, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about that, Ronnie, because I've analyzed that, do you know what? I'm going to just be, let's see. How I'm going to say it. So in reference to addressing that, Ronnie, it's a really good point that people can come from a place of saying, well, it's an excuse because you really don't know what you're doing, or you don't know how to pray for the sick, or maybe, you know, you're not really a believer, or whatever someone can accuse or say. But the truth is, without knowing the underlying layers, in some people healing does come immediately. Hallelujah. You want that every time. Absolutely. Who wants to see the person come back to you over and over? I mean, that's not how Jesus did it. That's not how we want it. That ultimately we want it instant for everyone. It's theirs. The stripes. He did that. The brutality of those stripes paid for that. It's done. So that's there. But the other person is part of the equation, and we cannot say it's a one-way street. It's a two-way street. And what they have going on with them will have impact on what they're going to receive. And just because I have authority over all power of the enemy, so do they. They still have a will. And even though, yes, sometimes it can be a demonic influence that will be, for instance, I'm going to give you a really good illustration. I had this child. Can you believe this? This is so sad, but he was 11. And he was a neighborhood child, you know, came over for cookies and milk or whatever. And he had parents that were quite rough, to say the least, you know, drinking, swearing, you know, movies that weren't appropriate, all that stuff. So he comes over one day and we're just chit-chatting or whatever. And he says he has something. He's really upset because he's looking at girls in the way and he knows it's kind of a wrong way to look at them. And some other things. He just was feeling really, you know, truth is it was like sexual perversion. And I mean, he's only 11, my goodness, you know. So I prayed for him. And he said, oh, I felt some of it come off, because he was recently saved and he, you know, had been filled with the Spirit and everything. And he said, oh yeah, I can feel that. But he said, there's one thing left. Like, he could tell. Okay, but he wanted it gone. He wanted that thing gone. He said to me, there's something else. I know, isn't that amazing? He's since gone awry, but you know, hey, he belongs to the daddy. Daddy will sort him out. And he went, he said, okay, there's one more thing. And I had to ask Holy Spirit, and I just thought, I felt so dull because I thought, you know, what's the problem? What is it? All of a sudden, he says lust. Holy Spirit says, and I'm thinking, well, duh, why didn't I get that? You know, I'm like the spirit of lust, you know? So I pray it, it goes, and he's fine. Okay. Now, had that boy, say I was at their house, and I noticed something was off with him. And I'm asking, oh, would you like prayer? And he goes, okay, yeah. But the truth is, he wants to hold on to this thing because he likes the feeling of it. Now, I could pray till I'm blue in the face. He still has a will to whether he'll hold on to that thing or not, to whether it be attached or not. So to just make a blanket, I can pray for anybody and that it's all going to go and it has to go because I said so, is not true. Because if that were true, everyone would be healed every time. And they're not. And that is not blaming the person who has the sickness ever. They don't even know they're holding on to things most of the time. They don't even know there's some soul damage that may be interfering with what Jesus already paid for them. I've seen it happen so many times. They have something that's blocking them. The Holy Spirit tells me about it. I pray about it. They get free of that. Suddenly, the physical healing manifests too. Now, sometimes it's right then and there. Sometimes it's within a few hours or a few days. But it gets done. So we really have to be cautious about labeling anyone. Oh, you just don't really want to deal with this because you don't know what you're doing, or you're not really good at the healing part, and I'm good at the healing part. We don't want to put people in groups. And then what happens is when we do place people in categories, the ones that are actually seeking the Father's heart on this, or seeking Holy Spirit on how to do this so that they're doing a full job, not just a half job. Because how many people, the thing comes back? How often does that happen? I've heard that all around the world, not just when I pray, not just when some of those other people pray, but ministries around the world. All of them. It returns. That means the original thing was not addressed. Because the person would not receive it again. That's the problem. We want to get to the deepest level of that soul, and the only one who can do that is the Holy Surgeon, Holy Spirit. And he will go in, and he will cut through bone and marrow, you know, the sword of the Spirit, the Word. And as you said, Lizzie, I think that's so great, what you said, is the Holy Spirit wrote the Word, so why would we not listen to him? He inspired it, so it's not like, well, I've got the Word, shut up, Holy Spirit, we don't need you now. That was to give us, that's our foundation, to be able to be as a reference point. So if anything's really off and we look at it and go, oh, well, that doesn't fit, you know. But it's not that we just stay, okay, it's only the Word, and you better, you know, don't do anything else because you might color out of the lines. And when he actually is the one who inspired it to be written. And as you said, LD, too, we need a relationship with Holy Spirit in order to know what's really going on with the person. I'm not going to know just by guessing or hoping I can figure it out. It doesn't work like that. It's just like if you had that feeling, Lizzie, about the person you prayed for today, and they had fear, and they had your heart was shivering, and those other, you know, impressions. That's Holy Spirit saying, okay, please pray about this for this person. This is what they're experiencing. How else would you know that? You know? Yeah, and that's great, Lizzie. He didn't drop notebooks into men's laps. That's brilliant. He dropped words into their spirits. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know? And if we're going to compare ourselves to the early church, whether it's Acts or Ephesians or whoever people think is the, you know, the real church, those people did not shy away from Holy Spirit.
Careful.
You know?
We're not. How else could they have written the?
That's right. They didn't shut him out.
It was God writing it.
Exactly. He was not. Their door was not shut to Holy Spirit. It was wide open. He even told them when to go someplace and when not to. You know, he told Paul not to go one place, but he didn't want to listen. So he got killed, you know, and it was going to happen anyway to some degree. But then, you know, he was, and he told him where to preach. You know, I mean, he's involved with every area of our life. And I'm just going to, because I think we didn't get it on that last recording, I want to read this to all three of you, and it's good for me too. I am writing it down, but it's taking so long because there's so many references to what Holy Spirit does. But I'm going to read it, and then it'll be online, and people can listen anyway, because it's taken me a while to get it written down, okay? So I'm just going to read this, because it's incredible. And it's in the concordance, a small concordance in the back of the New King James Bible, okay? This is what it says about Holy Spirit, his attributes and action. And it has Bible references for every aspect. This is what it says. He is eternal, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, the Spirit of glory and of God, author of the new birth, inspiring scripture, the source of wisdom, the source of miraculous power, appointing and sending ministers, directs where the gospel should be preached, dwells in the saints, comforts the church, sanctifies the church, is the witness, convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. His personality, he creates and gives life. He appoints and commissions servants. He directs where to preach. He does not permit Paul to go to Bithynia. He instructs Paul what to preach. He spoke in and by the prophets. He strives with sinners. He can be grieved. He teaches. Dwells with saints. He testifies of Christ. He convicts. He guides, glorifies Christ. He can be tested. He can be resisted. He comforts. He helps in our weaknesses. He searches all things. He works according to his own will. As a comforter, he proceeds from the Father. He is given by Christ, by the Father, through Christ's intercession.
He is sent in the name of Christ. He is sent by Christ from the Father. As such, he abides forever with saints. He dwells with and in saints, is known by the saints, teaches saints, testifies of Christ, edifies the church, imparts the love of God, communicates joy to saints, imparts hope. The world cannot receive him. As a teacher, he is promised. As the spirit of wisdom, he's given to saints. As such, he directs in the way of godliness. He teaches saints to answer persecutors. He reveals the future. He brings the words of Christ to remembrance. He guides into all truth. He reveals the things of Christ and directs the decisions of the church. He reveals the things of God. He enables ministers to teach. The natural man will not receive the things of the Holy Spirit. All are invited to attend to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. His emblems are water, fertilizing, refreshing, freely given, cleansing, abundant, fire, illuminating, purifying, searching, powerful, wind, reviving, independent, sensible in his effects, consecrating, comforting, illuminating, healing, rain and dew, imperceptible, refreshing, gentle, a voice, a dove, guiding, speaking, warning, a seal, authenticating, securing. Isn't that amazing? That's Holy Spirit. It's just phenomenal.
I say yes and amen to all.
Isn't that great? Yes, he's all in all. And he lives in us. It's amazing. How could we refuse to listen? No wonder the church is so easily deceived. They've put a deaf ear to him. It's incredible. Yeah, I receive it all too.
It's the devil's playing games with people and fortune.
Exactly. Well, the devil really, he'll attack your relationship with Jesus. Well, he'll try to not get you into relationship with Jesus, obviously. If that doesn't work, he'll attack your relationship with the Father so that you think he's this horrible old guy in the sky who's always watching you and you're in trouble. If he can't get that, he definitely goes for the Holy Spirit. So most Christians don't even know him. He's pretty much covered that worldwide in the church. They treat him either like a thing,
wow,
an it, a force, a power, but forget about he's God in us. He's the person of God living in us. And he's got the same qualities as the Father and the Son. He has some different functions, but he has the same characteristics. No junior God, Holy Spirit. It's amazing. So no wonder if we're going to be Spirit-led in our healing, and people will, I know there will be a lot of controversy over it, but people can either, read it or not read it. It's not up to me to have people read the book that the Holy Spirit's telling me to write. I'm just trying to get it written. But in that Spirit-led context, that will include all those things that we cannot see on our own and that no method can address. Because I'm listening to the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God about that person. And he's saying it right there in the moment. This is what's going on with them. This is what they need. This is what I want to give them. This is what they think. This is what's limiting them. And then that's where we pray from. And then the person gets healed once and for all. Because if you can address and I'm not just talking core issues like inner healing and let's spend hundreds of sessions with people, nothing like that. Holy Spirit, he's a holy surgeon, he does it very quickly. But if we can get to that core issue or whatever it is that stops them, whether they just feel that they don't deserve it, maybe they feel they're not loved, maybe they think, oh yeah, well I came to Christ but then I did all these horrible things after. I don't think that I'm forgiven for that. Aren't I just forgiven when I'm born again? And all this stuff from before. Who knows what they have going on with them? Or what they've been told. They could have been told something when they're 5. That happened to me with one woman. She was 5 and she wasn't listened to and hit horribly for what she told the truth about. and it affected her part of her body horribly. It was trauma. And even though it affected a particular part of her body, it was the trauma that was there, that had stayed there and festered into a physical issue. So, and we need, you know, if we're spirit-led, we're going to see that, we're going to know that, he's going to tell us, and we're going to be able to deal with that. And the person can get not just healed on a physical level, but their relationship with God can be restored. Because often, if somebody's been dealing with long-term illness, it affects their relationship with God. You know, they're not exactly happy with him, but they think that they're not allowed to be angry either.
Makes you bitter with people, too.
It does. And yeah, and then you're like, oh yeah,
like
here we go.
When I was in constant back pain, I was just so short.
That's right. You get irritable. That's right. That's exactly right. So.
Because I was just like in bed all day. I'm like, I hate my life. Like, don't talk to me.
Right. Right. Exactly. And we have to be aware of that. Some people are, you know, and as long as they're willing to receive, you know, I mean. People usually come to you if they want to receive. Now, if we're gonna go to them, and I'm not saying don't seek them out if you see somebody's hurting or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that to make a blanket doctrine, I guess, for want of a better word, that every time you pray for somebody, they have to be healed, and it's almost like a dictatorship. Well, that's not how God looks at them. He doesn't just take over every person and go, well, you're going to be saved. I don't care whether you like it or not. It doesn't work like that. And people say, oh, no, salvation is different than healing. But then they say, no, but healing is included in salvation. So make up your mind. Which one is it? So we can't, you know, it's like having your feet in two different camps. And saying, and the reason there's such a, again, this word, I'm going to have to look up this word. I know what the meaning of is, but I think God wants me to look it up. And, you know, it's a word you find in the dictionary, vociferous. The vociferous level of resistance and negativity towards being spirit-led is incredible. Do you see the controversy of it? People will practically hit you in the head if they could. They could reach that far. They're so angry about it. As if you're blaspheming God. By saying, I want to be led by the Spirit. Oh, no, you're one of those people. Yeah, I'm one of those people that actually knows the Holy Spirit lives in me, and I want him to be in charge and take the lead because he knows everything. He's omniscient. I'm not. I think it's better to listen to the omniscient one than what I might think or what some other teacher or doctrine or church thinks. So it's really, I think it's about growing
that
up.
Doctrine or teaching might be from the Holy Spirit, but if you have the fullness of God in you, why not walk in the full counsel of God instead of just a chunk of it?
Well, it's not only that. It's also that people, you know, we have skewed ideas. Even if something's been inspired by Holy Spirit, we can put our own tilt on it. So anything that's taught needs to be filtered by Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you think about that? Do we ever ask him? No, we just go, yeah, that lines up with the Word of God. Well, that sounds pretty good. Oh, and they may have twisted Scripture in so many ways that you could have one of those poodles that you make out of balloons. But you can't see it because they're very clever. And it sounds scriptural. You know, just because somebody quotes scripture doesn't mean they really believe in God. The devil quotes scripture too. You know, it's we still need to go to him.
I made this list of why I should trust God more than people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, exactly.
Don't take it like condemning, though. It's just blatant fact.
That's right. Well, that's how what you want. You want to know who he is. And if you know who he is, how can you not trust him? And that's, you know, that's great. We need to, so those are, you know, if we want to pursue a relationship with Holy Spirit, and that does not mean seeking him in every conference or, you know, church, That means actually becoming aware that he is in us, and he's guiding us, and he leads us, and he's around us. And his presence is a gift. That once we you know, accept that, then we can actually go deeper with him and have real relationship. So if people want to do that, they're going to be praying from a different place in whatever way they minister. And that fullness is what he wants to give people. Not just a healing physically. He wants God the Father to be given to these people. So they can have relationship too. And even if they're Christians, because there's plenty of Christians out there that need healing and have been desperate for years, and their relationship with the Father is pretty poor. And then I see broken Christians every day. Very broken. But they can be mended so quickly. Because what does he do? He mends the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And he does it fast. A lot faster than any other method there is. So that's what we just have to kind of keep in mind, is like, which direction do we want to go in? If we want to follow him in the sense of not, you know, people say, oh, it's an excuse, you want to be spirit-led because you don't want to do anything. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being spirit-led because we want to glorify the Father. And we want to give all that he wants to give to others. And because the Holy Spirit is an authentic way of living as a Christian. Union with him is authenticating what Jesus did on the cross. So I'm not going to do it any other way. There is no other way for me. And I wouldn't back down. But that doesn't mean I'm going to tell everybody else they have to do it. I might share what I've experienced and they can say yay or nay. Really strong. Holy Spirit is really strongly impressing on me right now that word authenticate. Holy Spirit authenticates any doctrine or teaching. He's the one that does that. Not our thinking and, oh, it sounds like it grows up with scripture. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I like that. Ooh, that's, ooh, razzle dazzle. Ooh, that's so freeing. Ooh, ah. Instead of that, we go to Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, is this true? You're the Spirit of truth. You're to lead me into all truth. Is it true? He'll show us. I mean, it's that simple, asking him. You have to write Holy Spirit a letter and hope for a reply. You know, he's right in us. Okay, tell me. And he'll either tell you immediately or over a period of time, he'll reveal it to you so you know the truth. When we know the truth will set us free. Holy Spirit is, it's supposed to be what his words are, spirit and truth, aren't they? Not just words. And of course they're spirit and truth because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We will talk and catch up next time. And okay, so shalom. And here's a really beautiful one. Listen to this one, if I can remember the whole thing. Wana hukana kama wewe. That means, Father, there is none like you. Isn't that beautiful? And I'll write it down for you. Wana hakuna. Sorry, hakuna. Kama wewe. So there we go. We'll end on that note.
It sounds like Portuguese.
Yeah, no, it's Swahili. Bwana hakuna kama wewe. Yeah. Okay, guys. We'll chat soon. And enjoy his presence. Go to sleep. Have a good sleep. Okay? I'll have a good day. All right?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Shalom.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Shalom.